Welcome to Yo 11 Minutes. Yo 11 Minutes, mostly Vegas, no BS, casino experience, and more. Michael Traeger and myself are not on the Epstein list. Nothing to worry about there. Michael Traeger is a casino and travel loyalty expert who also helps people turn their travel dreams into reality. And now, Michael Traeger. How's it going, Michael?
It's going great. So you're like in like a punchy comical mode today.
I sure am indeed in a punchy comical mode.
Okay. Well, that's good. No, like we're here to this episode is to distract you from the Epstein list or reading the 970-page document on the cloud, because you don't have to worry. Somebody else will read it for you and give you little pieces of it on Twitter all day long.
Oh yeah, I'm sure like there's going to be, you know, just, you know, random quotes and oh my god, look who's on it and stuff like that.
David Copperfield. I don't know. This whole world. I mean, it's just completely upside down. That's maybe, why we're here to talk about happy things like Vegas and gambling.
I mean, maybe he was just looking for some new young assistants. That was
dum dum boom. We need sound effects for that one.
Yeah, we do. We gotta look into some sound effects for sure.
It's really crazy. But today's topic is meant to be slightly controversial, but we're going to put a disclaimer at the beginning. You should have some disclaimer music. We should have like disclaimer. Disclaimer is that there's no city that I enjoy more than Las Vegas in the entire world. If I had to only visit one more city ever in my entire life, it would be Las Vegas. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I think Las Vegas is the best city for gambling.
The views expressed by Michael Traeger do not necessarily represent the views of anyone else involved in this broadcast.
Come on, stick with me here, okay? I mean, that's it. Is this going to be like going into the tease? Do we just go immediately into the tease?
Yeah, it's again slow news. It's the beginning of the year. No one's announcing anything just yet. Everyone's just talking about, you know, Caesars and MGM will be releasing their, you know, fourth quarter earnings. Every company is going to be releasing fourth quarter earnings. It's boring stuff that only
that gets Mark Meltzer.
Yeah,
really,
I was about to
excited.
Say,
oh like, my god, like Meltz is like, whoa, earnings.
Meltz loves that shit. Mark Meltzer, it gets him excited, but it doesn't get like 99% of the tourist population excited at all. That's his thing.
Our thing,
and that's his. It's those earnings calls, man. He loves those things. All right.
Yeah.
That being said, it is time for the tea.
Okay, so the tease today is Real Gamblers, Why I Prefer AC, aka Atlantic City, and What's a Real Gambler? And before I go further, you might say that maybe that's a little bit arrogant to say what is a real gambler as opposed to a fake gambler. But honestly, it's just a way to trigger people with a title. And we're just talking about people who are more serious, who are more serious players. And that's why I think talking about AC is really important. And when you want to talk about arrogance, actually, what I think is the most arrogant thing when it comes to casinos are the sky-high table limits at the bougie properties on the strip that you often see. So to me, a lot of that has been really, really crazy, you know, how crazy the table limits are on Fridays and Saturdays. But anyway, and that's been bugging me for a while, so I just needed to say that again. But anyway, why is AC better for gamblers? Well,
I have an answer for that. I got an answer for that. AC is better for gamblers because it keeps them cool inside the casinos on a really hot day.
Duh.
Are you not talking about air conditioning?
No, I'm talking about Atlantic City.
Oh, my bad.
Well, you know what? Atlantic City is a little bit like if you could take downtown Las Vegas and maybe smash some of the gambling elements of downtown Las Vegas into the strip casinos.
And add like a whole lot of like ghetto surroundings, you know, some just really just horrible areas and personalities. Yeah. In the good zone.
Well, I think honestly, the thing that I was that I really go over when I talk about this whole thing about like real gamblers versus others is that if you think about it, the biggest difference between a market like Atlantic City, which is a major gambling city, and Las Vegas, which is a major gambling city, is that the vast majority of people these days don't travel to Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Strip to gamble. Whereas actually people do travel to Atlantic City. Probably one of the number one reasons is to gamble, more so than a convention or vacation destination. And that, I think, does influence the type of players that you see at the tables, because it's fewer tourists. I mean, it's on a granular level, you're trying to say like, yeah, but there's still tourists in Atlantic City, but they're really like tourists who are there to gamble as opposed to people who are in town for conventions and to be tourists who might happen to gamble. And I think that does impact the experience at the table games. Of course, that doesn't really impact the experience as much at slot machines, but I think it's the whole table thing that makes a really, really big difference. I don't know. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever thought about that, Ovestro, at all?
I think more people travel to Atlantic City to gamble because that's all there is to do in Atlantic City.
There's the beach. There's also a lot of dining. It's true. I mean, nothing is going to be as incredible as Las Vegas is. There is, of course, a lot more to do in Las Vegas, but there are other things to do in Atlantic City other than gambling. And this was actually an argument. This is to go totally off on a tangent. This was an argument years ago about how Atlantic City would eventually overtake Las Vegas as a gambling vacation destination because of the beach and the ocean and all of that. And obviously that never happened, even though most people don't realize that the gambling action on the Las Vegas in Atlantic City exceeded the Las Vegas Strip for many, many years, I think well into the 1990s. So that's sort of interesting, but that goes along with the fact that a lot of gamblers like Atlantic City. Hey, Atlantic City has some other, you know, advantages too. Like, yes, of course, the gambling stuff. Video poker is better, not as good as it used to be. Blackjack is better, and they can't ban card counters, but they could do other kinds of things. Overall, table game environment is very, very good. Lots of table games at the property in comparison to how large the properties are, especially at places like Borgata. There are lounges, something that you don't see, VIP lounges that you don't see very much in Las Vegas anymore. And that really does make a big difference to the solo gambler, because it's a great place to grab a bite to eat or a drink. And it's a really, really good perk. Vegas definitely wins with regard to airport access, because as much as I don't really love Las Vegas Airport, it is super convenient to the Strip and downtown. Atlantic City has an airport which is not really utilized that much, and that means you have to go to Philadelphia, which is much further away. That's over an hour. AC, much like Las Vegas, has many casinos that are near each other. So that's really, really good. And that's a big differentiator from other markets like, in Connecticut, like you've got Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods, but that's it. And this ability to be able to walk from one casino to another is something that is very unique to Atlantic City as well as Las Vegas. It's also quicker to walk to casinos in Atlantic City because it's just different kind of walking than in Las Vegas. So that's, you know, but I guess the biggest difference is not as many true tourists and convention people and people who are there more so to gamble. So then the other thing we have to say is it obnoxious to differentiate, you know, slot players? I mean, maybe it's great to be a slot player because you can go anywhere as long as they have all the new machines and a variety of machines that you have. You can go to any gambling market and get a very similar gaming experience. Not so much for video poker because of pay tables, but for slot people, you could get a very similar gaming experience. But for table game people, that isn't necessarily true. And then you have things like poker rooms and other things where the experience is much different, but it's much easier to give people a consistent slot experience because these are machines that you're playing that are very similar if it's the same game at different properties. So that's what I got for you. And that's one of the reasons why I think Atlantic City is a great place to gamble and something that shouldn't be overlooked. I'm sure many people disagree with that. I also think Biloxi falls into that kind of concept also, and a few other places, but that's what I got for you. So that's it. But does it make Atlantic City make it better than Vegas? Absolutely not. So that's what I'm saying, and I'm sticking with it.
So what I hear you saying, I mean, is I guess if you just isolate the gambling, not so much any other aspect of Las Vegas. For me, it's hard to separate that. But if you isolate the Vegas gambling and compare it to Atlantic City gambling. Just the gambling, not what you're going to do afterwards, not what you're going to do before you gamble or after you gamble, or where you're going to eat or entertainment or anything like that. But just the gambling, what you're saying is that the gambling, just the gambling, is better in Atlantic City than it is in Vegas. Is that why you're making the comparison to like downtown? Because downtown, like money goes further downtown, you know, it's – it just seems like money lasts longer in slot machines downtown than they do on the strip for some reason. It seems like the paybacks are better.
I think they legitimately are. I think the paybacks are legitimately better. One of the things that I always argue about or ponder is when they say, and I'm making up these numbers, that say the payback, the percentage is set to like 92% versus 89%, and say it's 92% in downtown and 89% is the average on the strip. And you could get these figures from the gaming people.
Yeah.
The thing about it is I'm not really sure that we really do notice those differences in the short term of playing on machines. I know people say that all the time, like loose slots and, you know, the slots are better, especially at a lot of locals, casinos and things like that. But other than like video poker pay tables, which have a very direct relationship to your, you know, to the game and to the house edge, I'm just not sure if a top dollar machine that's set at 92% versus 90%, like, can you really tell? I mean, like, unless you played forever, or how would you compare it? I think it's always actually, this is, I'm, because you're around the Facebook message boards and things, like when people talk about like casinos that are hot and cold and good and bad, I think it's just, I think to me, that's always just a slot player thing, because slot people tend to talk a lot about that. But I just don't think there's enough of a, I just don't think there's enough of a difference, you know, because you're not like, you're talking 1 or 2 percentage points, but that's just me. I'm sure someone will argue that.
Yeah, there's a lot of myths about that slot players have that are completely not true at all. That a lot of things I've learned as a slot technician too, and how these games are set up and everything, that is like, oh, it's a cold machine. No, it's not a cold machine really. But it's just, you know, it's a random number generator, and over the lifetime of that machine, it's going to pay a certain amount. And if you're there at a session where it's not paying that good, doesn't mean it's a cold machine. It's just, your session was cold. And that's,
you know what my favorite, you know, what my favorite is when people say that casinos are adjusting, you know, adjusting games or adjusting the house edge, you know, like on a granular level, like on Sunday, you know, because it's, you know, a specific Sunday or a specific holiday, which we know pretty much so casinos don't adjust things that way. But when people, people are like convinced like casinos are cheating them. But I guess more so the thing that's so funny to me is when people are convinced casinos are cheating them, and then they post or they write about how they keep going back to this casino and they're sure they're like cheating them or that they're doing it. I keep thinking, you know, if I really thought a casino was cheating me or was not, you know, not like legit random number generators, legit games, why the hell would I keep going back and playing there and then complaining about losing? That just seems very, it just always seemed very odd to me that people complain about casinos like cheating them or fixing games, or maybe not so much fixing, but like manipulating the house edge. And I'm always thinking, like, if you think they're devious that way, why would you give them your money if you don't think it's a fair game? But anyway, that's just me.
Yeah, everything has to be answered to gaming control. And so I used to think the same thing. Oh, they tighten up the slots on, like, you know, March Madness, or they do this or they do that. And no, I just had a couple of bad sessions and I just thought it was an entire casino thing. Cause, you know, while one person's having a bad session, there's always that person next to you who does really, really well. So it's just the luck of the draw. It's what it is. Like, I've been around for several big weekends so far out here as a slot technician. And I can certainly tell you, no, that's not what happens at all. To change the pay tables on a game is a lot of work. It's very noticeable. And it's a whole process. And it's just, it's not worth anyone's time. Also, there has to be, it's got to be answered to gaming for, you know, because everything is electronic. You know, there's a record of everything. So, you know, gaming is the police, pretty much. They are the law enforcement of the casino industry. And that's just how it is. So they don't, I thought they did. I thought as a slot tech, I was gonna be able to uncover all these secrets, like the sneaky things that casinos do. And it's fucking boring as fuck. I mean, I haven't found a goddamn single thing. Like,
well, you know what the thing is, they report. They also report all the numbers, yeah. Like all the money that's going in the machines, all the money that's going out of the machines, and the house. Like, there would be a, you know, and then on top of that, that's all verified. You know, yep. I mean, like maybe years ago when there was this incredible mob skim from casinos, it was, you know, it would have been easier to manipulate something. But all, I mean, the record keeping.
It's all electronic now. It's all electronic. Yes. And like, there are meters. When someone puts in their player's card, right? That little thingy with that little ad or whatever, you get to your account and all that. And that gets tracked, but it also gets tracked in the player tracking unit itself. So as a slot technician, I have this card where I put it in there and I have access to all these things in player tracking. One of those things is called meters. And with meters, you can see, I know, as long as the machine has been active, the lifetime of that machine up to that point, how much that, you know, machine, how much money was put into the machine, how much money was taken out of the machine, like it was Tito'd out or whatever, or how much money was won on the machine. And every time the percentages line up. Like, I was astounded at like how well everything lined up to how, what it was supposed to do. So, you know, it's all legit. It's just that, you know, are there going to be bad sessions every now and then? Of course, but there are also going to be good sessions. And a lot of it has to do with how much you're going to, you know, how much you're going to play and how you're going to play. Are you do all max bets? Do you notice sometimes that when you play max bets all the time, it's a bit tighter, but if you go down to the lower denominations, like, you know, maybe the middle or you seem to get more paybacks, you know, there's a reason for all that, you know? And so it's, you know, I would just tell people to, you know, it's not like, oh man, if I did the max bet, I would have won, you know, the jackpot of something, something thousands of dollars. No, you not necessarily. And that's actually pretty far from the truth because every denomination is running on its own random number generator. So sometimes it has to do with the millisecond that you hit that button. Just because you hit, you know, like say pennies for Vegas, play the low bet of, you know, like 5 cents, doesn't mean he would have won the jackpot, you know, for hundreds of thousands of dollars if he played max bet. That's not guaranteed. Oftentimes the percentages are different too based on the denomination. So it's, I like to just, when I play slots, I like to hop around. I'll do a max bet. I'll do a middle. I'll do low. Now hop around all around the board, you know, and get, you know, my fingers on everything, as opposed to staying at one thing consistently. But that's just how I play. But you know,
you see, I'm the one thing consistently, and I think that comes from like a table game background. Mm-hmm. you know, my slot player friends are always like, oh, change denomination, move to this machine, move to that machine. And I'm like, it's like all driving my head crazy because it's like all like moving around and changing denominations and all that. Whereas I just like want to stick at the same. I think it's because it's sort of like, I guess the way that like I play, which isn't the way all table players play. Like if I go up to a craps table, I've got like my bankroll and what my loss limit is and what I'm looking to do at the table. And I'm going to stay there until I like hit the loss limit or until I win a certain amount of money and then I start to lose again. But I'm mm-hmm. like just going to stick at that table. I'm not going to run to another craps table and be like, ooh, that table looks like it's hot. I'm just going to stick it out at that one table or that baccarat table. So that's just like the way my mindset is. So I think a lot of times that's what that's the way I play slots. It's like, well, and then I always say to myself, well, it's just a random number generator. So like the next spin could be the grand. Like, so there's nothing like changing to the machine next to it. It's just another random number that's doing it. I mean, that's why my slot friends get really annoyed with me because they're like, I'm like, but it doesn't really matter if you change machines because you can't really impact it because it's just a random number. You just got to be really lucky, right? I mean, yeah. Or as they say, better to be lucky than to be smart.
Indeed. Before we get I just caught that. That took a minute to set in. All right, that was good.
Better to be lucky than to be smart. or the starting theme of our show today was smart people doing dumb things. Referring to Epstein,
right? Yeah, that was the pre-show conversation.
But anyway, I think it is very interesting, but I'm still convinced that a lot of these percentages don't make enough of a difference to the average player on an individual game for an individual. Like if your average person is coming up with $300 to put in a machine to play at whatever denomination, whether it's 88 cents or a dollar or $2, whether the game is 89%, 91% or 92%, I think it has more to do. Everything has more to do with just the luck of the random number generator than those actual percentages. It's like, oh, wow, if it was a 92% or 93% game, I'd be killing it right now. Like, no, I mean, like you from anyway, that's just how I feel. I mean, though, I guess, though, if you sit down on a slot machine and you play for 10 years, you know, then that's different. It'll all even itself out. You'll see that true percentage.
I'm not going to say how much time we've been talking so far because we know that annoys one of our listeners. But we are 22 minutes into this episode. I'm sorry, I said it. Sorry,
but you said it. That's
yeah. Oh well, I'm sorry.
It's just like when we weren't supposed to talk about F1.
Oh yeah.
When do we get to start talking about F1 again?
I think it's too soon. Let's try February.
February? No, let's wait till March. When do we? Well, actually, the thing now that's driving people crazy, which is actually could be a news item, is how they're setting up the CBS broadcasting in front of the Bellagio fountains. And I think that's, for lack of a better term, triggering some people because like this constant use of the Bellagio fountains as a backdrop. So they're going to use that for like studio broadcasting.
Yeah, the football.
For football. Yeah. For the Super, which I think, you see, here's the thing. When people are negative about that stuff, but I'm like, it's so cool. Like, isn't that cooler than they're going to be in front of the Bellagio fountains broadcasting. That's awesome. It's absolutely, I don't know. I think all that stuff is really cool. I can see how people think like, oh, they shouldn't be using the fountains again, just as a backdrop for something, but why not? I think that's good. Anyway, I don't know. Give me comments on why you think that's a bad idea. I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
Listen, man, anyway, people,
what do I know?
People, including myself, have an attachment to the Bellagio fountains. I can't describe why and what it is. It's just, we just do. And when I made the mistake of that April Fool's joke back in 2015, 2016, with Vegas Bright and the fountains being replaced by a shopping center, ooh, that did not go well. I mean, it went viral, but it did not go well. So people are attached to those fountains. They don't want to see anything blocking, obstructing, or taking the place of the fountains. I think that a lot of people feel like the fountains of Bellagio are the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. So that's why people get upset, man. It's like, don't mess with the fountains. Stop messing with the damn fountains.
Oh, man. But I don't know. I mean, that's I don't know. I mean, that's – it's one of the most interesting – things about it when you think about it is that whole area where the fountains are was
the dunes.
Was the dunes. But literally that entire casino resort fit into where the fountains are. Because remember, the dunes also had a country club mm-hmm. and a golf course. So you had two golf courses on the strip, I think. The Dunes golf course and the Wynn golf course, which was the Desert Inn golf course, which is still there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so cool that the dunes, like literally that whole property was like in just the area where the fountains were. Anyway, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the fountains are really good. It was a brilliant idea, you know. And actually, I'm going to paraphrase it, but I think there was this whole idea of the fountains was like Steve Wynn, like in a meeting being like one of the most beautiful places in Europe or like traditionally that you ever see. And one of the things he said, well, there are always fountains, like there are always like really nice fountains. And that was like the genesis of why they created these fountains. But those fountains are amazing. And I was watching some video recently about all the work that they do daily, like to keep those fountains working. It's absolutely, because it's old tech at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, there's and it has all that like electromechanical kind of stuff, you know, that's, it's not just computers. So it's cool.
I'm just thinking about, hi, I'm Steve Wynn. Everywhere fancy that you go around the world, there are fountains. So I'm bringing fountains here to Las Vegas. It's
just, did you see, you know, I posted on Twitter.
Rowing a boat, you know.
I posted on Twitter today mm-hmm. an old casino, an old advert that I had never seen before that I don't think was ever played. Maybe I'll play it right now. Let me see if I can do it. Let me see. But it's perfect. Okay, here it comes.
When Steve Wynn's Golden Nugget became such an overnight success, people were amazed.
And now for today's show and tell?
But he'd actually been thinking about it for quite a while.
Stevie Wynn.
My subject is the Golden Nugget. The Golden Nugget will be the premier Las Vegas resort hotel, catering to the most selective clients. The pool will be directly across from the entrance, bringing in sun to highlight the imported marble in the lobby.
The Golden Nugget. It's everything Steve Wynn ever dreamed of.
So that is a you can't tell, but it's like kids in a classroom doing a show and tell about, you know, they're basically like, what are you going to do for show and tell today? And this is like a little Stevie Wynn doing for show and tell, like his dream of like building this new Golden Nugget downtown or like renovating it or doing whatever he did at the Golden Nugget. So it's pretty cool. I'll give you a link, Movestro, to put into the show notes. But anyway, you see the things we come up with? It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Before we get going, is there anything you'd like to share? Any closing remarks or thoughts or anything like that?
No, I thought we shared a lot of thoughts today. I just, I think the main thought that I want to hear from people is like what I'm assuming a lot of people who listen to what we do are gambling oriented people. I know they are. Like one of the reasons why they like Las Vegas so much, at least an element of what they like about Las Vegas, is gambling. So what I'm most curious about is what moves you as far as like your gambling experience. Like maybe the gambling experience in Las Vegas is like the perfect gambling experience for you. So I'm sort of curious about that right now. So that's what I got for you.
Alrighty, and that's going to do it for this episode. Luxury travel booking, Travel Zork Travel. Visit us at TravelZorkTravel.com to plan your next amazing vacation. And be sure to find us on social media. You can join us anytime, and we're easy to find. All social platforms are at TravelZork. We'll see you next time.